Yesterday we were looking in Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27, and these are the verses where we see that Jesus and Peter comes to Jesus because Peter is told by those who are collecting the taxes, they ask Peter, "Does your master pay the tax?" And Peter says, "Yes." And then as we read through the verses, when they arrived in Capernaum, the collectors on the half shekel, the temple tax, went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher pay the half shekel?" He answered, "Yes." And when he came home, Jesus spoke to him about it, saying, "First, what do you think, Simon? From whom do earthly rulers collect duties or tribute? From their own sons or from others, not their own family?" And when Peter said, "Well, from other people, not of their own family," Jesus said, "Then the sons are exempt. However, in order to give, not to give offense and cause them to stumble, that is to cause them to judge unfavorably and unjustly, go down to the sea and throw in a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find there a shekel. Take it and give them to pay the temple tax for me and for yourself." So Jesus' response to Peter, when Peter comes and says, after he's already told the those who collect the temple tax, he's told them, "Yes, my master does pay that half shekel." And I love what Jesus asks. And before we get into what Jesus asks Simon, or asks Simon Peter himself, what he asks Simon Peter, I love the fact that we looked at this yesterday and we saw that there's really two things that are going on here. There is the physical reality, the physical truth. There is a principle that is here that we can apply to our own physical situations to our benefit. So there is a natural principle here, and there's also a deeper spiritual principle. Both are a blessing to us. Yesterday, we took the time to look at the natural principle that is in effect here. And this is basically showing us that whatever your need is, if you have a financial need, God can provide and will provide for you all that you need. In the same way, if we can stop and think about the great length that God went to provide that shekel. Because the tax was a half shekel, so it provided for both Peter and for Jesus. Think about the length that God went to provide what they needed. Because somebody had to make sure that somebody arranged it so that somebody dropped a shekel into the water, and that once that shekel was dropped into that vast sea of Galilee, that there would be a fish that would be there to do what fish don't naturally do, which would be to take into his mouth a shekel. And then the fact that the fish didn't even swallow the shekel, but the fish swam right to the hook that Peter cast into the water, and that fish went right to him. And as soon as he pulled that fish in, opened the mouth, and right there, not swallowed, right there in the mouth, is the half shekel. So we can see this is a principle that should be a great encouragement to you and I in the body of Christ. This is great encouragement. Whatever your financial need is, God is well able to meet that need. And he will do whatever it takes supernaturally to get that finances to you. However, we also saw yesterday that we have a part to play in that. Peter couldn't just sit back and say, "Okay, well, you know, Jesus is going to take care of this. I'll just sit back here in my Barca lounger and watch reruns of my favorite TV shows until that money comes." No, Jesus said, Peter, he gave Peter an assignment. Peter was a fisherman. It's what he did. And so Jesus gave him a task that was to put his hand to work doing what Peter knew how to do. And when you put your hand to work, God will then move and provide, even supernaturally. You have to put your hand to work. This is a concept that is kind of lost on our culture today, because we have very much a welfare mentality, which is, if I don't have, somebody else should give it to me or provide it for me. But what the Lord says, and this is the godly way, if you want to see success come in your life, even if you have nothing, put your hand to work. Put your hand to work doing whatever you can. Put your hand to work and do something. And it's through your doing something, it's through your faith action, that God will then move and bring. So that's what we saw yesterday, was the example of that story showing us the principle that really ministers to us, or that is an encouragement to us, and is a principle we can hold on to and apply in our lives here in this natural realm and with our natural needs. But there's also a greater, deeper principle that underlies this, which is the spiritual principle that takes place here. And that's what I want to look at today, the spiritual principle behind this story. Now, again, as we read this, those who collect the temple tax arrived in Capernaum, and this is where Jesus and his disciples were. They arrive and they ask Peter, "Does your master pay the temple tax?" Which was a half shekel. And Peter answers and said, "Yes." So Peter said yes. And then as he approaches Jesus, he comes into the house where Jesus is. And Jesus spoke to him, knowing that this happened supernaturally. And first said, "What do you think, Simon?" Now there's something I want you to notate here. Jesus is calling Peter Simon. He's specifically calling Peter Simon. He's not calling him Peter. He's calling him Simon. And that's kind of noteworthy because it's just in the previous chapter. It's in Matthew chapter 16 that we see Peter makes that great confession. That confession when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples gave different answers. And, you know, that men say, some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're the prophets. It's all these, all the other answers that he got from all the other disciples, the other disciples said, "Well, men say that you are these things, but men are not saying that you're Christ." But here Peter comes up and Peter says, when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded and said to Peter that, "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but it was my Father who showed you that and revealed that truth to you." And then he said, "Upon this rock." So what's the rock? It's not Peter. But he says, "Upon this rock, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So he has now changed the name of Simon to what we now know him as Peter, or as we often see, Simon Peter. Because what Peter did, he gave Peter the name Rock. Why? Well, because Peter understood and lived out that principle that Jesus said, upon this rock, which is faith, it's two things. It's first of all, it's knowing who Jesus Christ is. Knowing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. That's what Jesus built his church on, but he still called Peter the Rock, and he named him Peter. So at that point, Peter's name had been changed from Simon to Peter, or Simon Peter. So that just took place in Matthew chapter 16. So we're just not that much farther. We're just in Matthew chapter 17, and I want you to notice that when Peter said to those who were collecting the temple tax, when Peter answered, when they said, "So does your master pay the temple tax?" Peter said, "Yes." And I want you to notice that Matthew, the author of this book, Matthew, in talking about this, calls him Peter. When they arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel came to Peter and said, so he identifies him as Peter. And even when he talks about Peter going into his house, he answered and came in Jesus. So we know that this is Peter, and we know that Jesus himself has just renamed Simon to be Peter, or Simon Peter. But when Peter, having said, "Yes, my master pays the temple tax," when Peter comes to Jesus, after having said that, now Jesus identifies him as Simon, not as Peter. That's interesting. And he says, listen to what he says, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do earthly rulers collect duties or tribute? From their own sons or from others, not of their own?" Here's what Jesus is saying. So who do you think? Those who are in charge, those who collect taxes, those who have the power, whom do they take money from? Who do they take power from? Who do they take things from? Do they take it from their own family or from the family of others? And he said, "Simon, what do you think?" And then it says in verse number 26, and when Peter said this, so again, Matthew still identifies him as Peter, not as Simon Peter, not even as Simon or even Simon Peter, but as Peter. Peter says, from other people, not of their own family. Jesus said, then the sons are exempt. So here's the point that Jesus is making. Two things I want us to see. The point that Jesus is making. He's pointing out to Simon that those that have power and those that have authority, the sons are exempt. He's saying those who are coming to take the taxes, they have power and they have authority. So where are they going to get that? Where are they going to take the money from? They're not going to take it from their family, from their sons. The sons are exempt. Everybody else has to pay the price, right? That's what he's saying. Now, the fact that he identifies him as Simon and not as Peter at this point is clearly, to me anyway, is kind of suggesting pretty clearly to me that, okay, Peter, you know what? You just said a chapter ago, just not that long ago, you just had that insight that came from the Father that said, I am the Son of God. You identified me as the Messiah. That was an insight that came from God. And that's what I commended. You are Peter. When you have that realization, you're Peter. But right now, you're missing something here. You've reverted back to Simon. You're missing the fact that I am the King of Kings. I am God in the flesh. You're missing the fact that I am the Messiah. So what does this all have to do with leaders that do they take the taxes from the sons or from other families? All right. Here's how we understand that. And it's really very clear. And this is how I love the Bible, how it all just ties itself together. So this whole story begins with the men coming to Capernaum and collecting that half shekel tax. It's called the temple tax. Now, this is something that has been instituted in Israel and for the people of Israel all the way from the time of the Exodus. Now, depending upon who you talk to, the Exodus is anywhere from 1,200 years before Christ to 14. More than likely, it's about 1,450 years before Christ is when the Exodus takes place. So think about that. The temple tax was instituted in the book of Exodus by Moses, through God, by God through Moses. In Exodus chapter 30, and we'll look at it in a second, in Exodus chapter 30, we see the temple tax being talked about. 1,400 years later, they are still collecting the temple tax. So this is what it's referring to. So when these men came to Peter, and these men said, hey, does your master, does he pay the temple tax? In other words, this is something that was instituted by Moses. We, the people of God, have honored this for 1,400 years. This is what the law says. Does your master, does he obey the law? And Peter said, yes. Now let's go back and look at what the temple tax was for. Because again, these men came to Peter and they're asking about the temple tax. What is the temple tax for? What's the purpose of the temple tax? Because it's easy to say, oh, well, it's just to provide for the welfare, the taking care of all the daily things that take place at the temple. Yes, that's a part of it, but it's very specific. In Exodus chapter 30, verse number 11, and the Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the Israelites, every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that no plague may fall upon them when you number them. This is what everyone shall give as he joins those already numbered, a half shekel, in terms of the sanctuary shekel, a shekel being 20 gerahs, a half shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone from 20 years on upward, as he joins those already numbered, shall give this offering to the Lord. Now here's what I want you to see. So this is what the Lord instituted through Moses. And he said, as they're in the desert, God told Moses to take a census, know how many people they are. And once those people are numbered, once you've counted them, then every single man, every single one that's 20 years or older, every single person that's 20 years or older, every one of them has to give, every man has to give a ransom for himself. In other words, this is talking about paying the price for your sin. This is part of the ransom. Part of the ransom is you give a half shekel. That was instituted to pay the price for your sins. To pay the price, why? So that a plague would not fall upon them as you number them. So this is a ransom. God is saying you're paying a ransom because you have sins. and you're paying this temple tax as a ransom, every man must do it. Now let's go back forward again to Jesus and Peter. And we'll have to wrap this up tomorrow. Didn't realize how late it got so fast. So with that remembrance and that understanding, come back and look and see that those who came to collect the tax, what they're collecting the tax for, even though they may not realize it, but the purpose of that tax was a ransom for the individual. And this is what Jesus is saying to Peter. Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, the sons are exempt. Jesus is saying, you've forgotten, Peter. That's why I'm calling you Simon. You've forgotten. You identified me as the Son of God. Now you need to understand the reason that I came. I came as a ransom. I came to pay the price for sin. I came to set people free. I am the one. And those who are with me, this is what he said. The sons are exempt. He's saying we don't have to pay the temple tax. We don't have to pay a ransom for your sins anymore because that's the purpose of my coming. Men will not have to pay a ransom for their sins anymore because that's the purpose that I came. And the sons, those who line up and follow me, they will be exempt. Peter, this is what you need to know and understand. That's a beautiful story. That is the, we looked yesterday at the principle of that story and how that is a blessing to us and we can apply to our physical lives, but even a greater awareness is the spiritual reality that is behind that. And we can take that principle and apply it. Because of Jesus Christ, we are ransomed. We are sons. And because of sons, we are exempt. You're exempt from sickness. You're exempt from disease. You're exempt from all the things of the world. Don't accept those things because the sons are exempt and the price has been paid. Jesus paid the price for you. So let's walk in his liberty in all things and in his freedom.